that date already, but it is. And if you've grown up in a church or if you've got church background, you know Palm Sunday. Like, it's always come. It's always a Sunday before Easter, and it's always a big deal. And so today we're going to talk about Palm Sunday. Surprise. But I want to start by asking you, we just went through something as a nation, right? A few months back, we went through this deal we call election as a nation, right? And whether you, whichever way you lean politically, it's an event, right? I mean, it's a crazy event. We inaugurated a new president, and expectations run high, right? Everybody has their ideal of what this new person will do for our country or to our country, right? We don't know. And so there's excitement, there's a buzz, there's expectations that somehow this one individual will solve all our nation's problems, right? Some are filled with a sense of dread, like, uh-oh, what's going to happen? What are they going to, they're going to run our nation in the ground, right? No matter who's in office, no matter which way you lean, Inauguration Day is always a day that's celebrated by everybody. I mean, no matter what you feel about it, you're probably watching it on TV, right? You're watching the parade, you're watching all the thousands upon thousands together to see this event, to see what's happened. I mean, millions or more are watching on TV. It's a celebration, it's a symbol of hope in our nation, hope that this new president is going to bring change that our country needs. And it's just crazy time. And what that is illustrating is what it was like on Palm Sunday. There was that same buzz, that same excitement, that same thrill of what's going to happen. Here comes Jesus. Here comes the Messiah. What's he going to do for us? I mean, there's this excitement happening as Jesus enters into Jerusalem. He receives a welcome like we saw on Inauguration Day. I mean, people line the streets, right? They're lining the streets. They're celebrating almost like a royalty or a conquering hero's coming to town. I mean, people cheered with expectations of what Jesus would do for them. Reality is everybody had an expectation of what kind of king Jesus would be. Everybody had an expectation of what kind of president Trump would be. You know, one week we're shouting glory. Now we're dealing with tariffs. Now we're wanting to crucify him. Same way with Jesus. They're shouting Hosanna one week, and what we see is the next week, they're wanting to crucify him. But our challenge today is I want to challenge you to see Jesus for the king he truly is, rather than the king we want him to be. And so this morning we're going to unpack this story. We're going to walk through it. We're going to try to understand why the people did what they did, where they went wrong, and what we can learn from this whole encounter. So I want to start by looking at the crowd. In John chapter 12 is where we're going to be today. We see the story in your Bible heading. It's probably the same. It's the triumphal entry, and some, known as Palm Sunday. And again, we're somewhat familiar with this story. And when we think we know the story, what do? We tend to ignore the story, don't we? It's like I'll tell myself. I'm confessing my sins before you this morning. Sometimes when my wife begins to speak, I will say, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's my, yeah, right? That's basically my code. I know what you're going to say. We don't need to talk about it, right? And every time she calls me out on it, she's like, no, you don't know what I'm going to say, so shut up and listen, right? I don't know, I'm sure you don't ever do that. But I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, right? And that's what I want to say to you. No. Because once you see Palm Sunday, we're going to John chapter 2, triumph. Yeah. Pastor, I got that. But listen, I want you to hear the whole story. I want you to take it in because we're going to see some things today maybe you haven't seen. And I want to start with verse 12. It says, the next day, the large crowd that had come to feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took the branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And so John tells us that Jesus was heading into Jerusalem at the time of Passover. And again, Passover was one of the most significant feasts of their time, of the Jewish calendar. It really is today, too. And so devout Jews from all over, if you were anyone in the vicinity, they would go. They were actually required to go. Even today, devout Jews want to be in Jerusalem on the Feast of the Passover. And so it's a huge deal. At the time, Jerusalem, the population would swell tremendously during that week. The famous Jewish historian Josephus said that a few decades later, during Passover, there was about 2.7 million people in the city of Jerusalem. And so the day Jesus comes to town, the crowd was very large, and it could number in the hundreds of thousands of people that were in the city. And so now you got hundreds of thousands of people in this city, and a lot of them are crying out to Jesus, "Hail the King of Israel! Praise God! Blessings the one that comes in the name of the Lord!" So just a little context for you here, that word Hosanna in the Bible, some of you may have that word Hosanna depending on what version you got, but that word Hosanna, it actually means save, or more accurately, it means save us now. And so can you imagine this huge crowd of people, I mean hundreds of thousands of people shouting, "Save us now, save us now." I mean, it would be awesome, right? I mean, that what a scene. I mean, it was an incredible scene. The problem is, it doesn't relate to how we hear that phrase today. We think of something different than they were thinking, right? So Jesus, he did save the people. He was a king, and he is the King of Israel. All that's true. But what they meant by these statements was different than what we mean when we say those things about Jesus today. So they're saying, "Save us now, save us now." And as a Christian, as a believer, like, oh, that's awesome, right? That grips your heart. Like, that's what we want to hear today. But they're saying, save us now from the rule of the Romans. Save us now from the oppression we've been under. They call Jesus their king because they imagine he would lead them into battle. That he's coming to town, and baby, he's going to clean house. Right? He's going to come in town, raise up an army. We're going to kick the snot out of the Romans, kick them out, and we're going to establish our kingdom here on earth. So now when you hear the story, they're walking into town, "Jesus, save us now, save us now." They're thinking, all hail King Jesus as literal king. And that's what they're expecting. That's what they're chanting. That's why they're praising him. The mass majority of the people that day who gathered welcomed Jesus, they're praising Jesus because what they thought he was going to do. If you read on verses 17 through 19, they tell the people who saw Jesus literally raise Lazarus from the dead. And so that just happened. And so there's a buzz around town. Hey, he just rose somebody from the dead. He has to be the Messiah. All these miracles, all the power he's shown, he has to be the one. And they were hoping that this was a sign that he was the one that's going to overthrow Rome. Jesus had a much bigger plan in mind. Isn't that usually how it works out? Like here's our plan, right? Oh, that's pretty cute, right? And like, here's Jesus' plan. But we like to think down here. Well, Jesus is like, hey, up here, buddy, up here. And so they're thinking down here. And unfortunately, when Jesus didn't do what they expected, come on, this sounds pretty familiar because I think we've all been there. When Jesus didn't do what they expected, when they expected it, they turned on Jesus. Right? This week, this Sunday, all hail King Jesus. Hallelujah. Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Save us now, right? And then just a few days later, crucify him. That's our story. One week, we're all hail King Jesus. I'm taking my knee to the altar. I'm taking my request, my pain, that medical diagnosis, that relationship, that whatever I'm going, that battle I'm facing, I'm laying at the altar, all hail King Jesus. If he doesn't do it within 1 week, crucify the man. I mean, that's literally what happened. And we repeat that over and over in our life, don't we? Come on, I'm not the only one. Don't look at me like that. We have a prayer. We pray. We're like, all right, I'm going to test this sucker out. Let's pray. I'm praying. I prayed. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Let's crucify him. That's what's happening in our story today. Jesus didn't do what they wanted, so they no longer had any use for him. If we're honest with ourselves, we treat Jesus the same way. We come to a church for a while, we seem to show genuine faith, only to walk away later. Because we become upset when Jesus doesn't give us what we want. This is a subtle trap we fall into. So we have to make sure that we're seeking after the true Jesus, and worshiping is not based on what we want or what we get out of it. Because I think there's a lot of things that people think Jesus will give them. Like, if I go to church, all of a sudden I'm going to be happy all the time. If I go to church, if I follow Jesus, my life will be better and all will go well. We know that's not true. Your life will be better. All will not always go well. Well, if I go to church, if I give my tithes, if I pay to the building fund, God will bless me. I will get the raise. I'll get the truck. I'll get the house. I'll get everything I ever wanted. Follow God. He's going to provide for me a smoking hot spouse. And I'm going to live happily ever after with 2.5 kids. We imagine these things are part of the deal of faith in Christ. Some churches even teach it, but it's not true. And the temptation is to turn away from God because we think somehow God owes us. I was at church Sunday morning. I even came to prayer night. That's like bonus points, right? We run through this list we made of ways we try to be faithful. We think, if this is how God repays faithfulness, then clearly it isn't worth the effort. As soon as we have that thought, it should be a red flag for us. In reality, we're not worshiping God at all. We only think we do because we want to get what we want. And we're no different than the people gathered on that road on Palm Sunday. They were fickle followers. People who follow Jesus only when they think they'll get something they want out of the relationship. I only go to church because fill in the blank. You know, a lot of people go to church to find a spouse. Maybe it works out for you. It's not about what we get out of this relationship. And so this raises an important question. If Jesus was not coming to Jerusalem to conquer, to kill, to kick out Roman government, what is he doing? Look at verses 14 through 16. It says, "And Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand this at first." Listen, can I say it one more time? Listen. His disciples did not understand that at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him before. And so it's funny that you read the story like, wow, he just stole some guy's donkey, right? But there's more to it. And looking at the other three Gospels, Matthew gives us a little more insight. Look at Matthew chapter 2, 21, verses 1 to 3. It says, "And Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem. They came to the town of Bethpage on Mount Olives, and Jesus sent two of them ahead." In verse 2, it says, "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you'll see a donkey tied there with its colt behind it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them.' And he will immediately let you take them." Try that next time you go to the store. Just grab something. The Lord needs it. See how that works out for you. Right? It makes you wonder, like, what in the world is going on? I don't understand there. I got so many questions. Bible doesn't give us a lot of answers. But what is showing us that Jesus had a plan in advance to be riding a donkey. He clearly felt this was important. Now, why? None of the other disciples are riding donkeys. So why did it matter? John even says, hey, his disciples didn't even understand this at the time. But later, they remember what they remembered. There's this prophecy back in the book of Zechariah, right? If you go back there, read it, prophesies that the Messiah, the returning king, is going to come riding peace on a donkey, riding in the city. So you think, typically you think, when a king comes to town, you think he'd be on a horse, right? Or a stallion is what you want to say, right? Or like a gold chariot, or I mean something cool, right? Not a donkey. Donkeys are not cool, right? Tempted to use King James here, but I won't use King James. But donkeys are not cool, okay? And so, but he comes right in, and he's making a point. The point is that when a king would ride a horse or ride a stallion into a city, it was a sign, get ready, war's coming. It was like their battle sign. If you see a king riding a donkey, it's trouble because war is coming. But if you saw a king riding a donkey, it means peace was coming. So Jesus made a clear statement here that peace is coming. Clear symbolism was lost on both the disciples and the crowd. You get that? How many times did that happen to us? I'm telling you, in biblical times, they would memorize whole books of the Bible. They could quote you Zechariah, which is unbelievable, but they could quote it to you. The same people who could quote you Zechariah see Jesus coming to town on a donkey. Come on. What'd they do? Well, we don't like that part. Let's get that out of here. That was just a typo. We don't need that. Do you see what they were doing? They knew the scriptures, but they chose to ignore the scriptures so Jesus could fit their model. Come on, somebody. How many times we try to edit? Well, I don't like that part. Yeah, let's edit that part out. You know, this whole sexuality thing. We can't have friends with benefit. I mean, let's get that out of here. I mean, that's not even, you know, culturally, they wouldn't understand, but we change culture now. And so what we do, I don't know, I'm licking my fingers, but older days, people would lick a pen, you know, pencil, whatever, but let's just scrap that out. You know, we don't need that part. Even the disciples were trying to make Jesus their own little king and their own little image. And we do that today. We run across scriptures that doesn't fit with current society. Like, well, you know, this was written over 2,000 years ago. And so they could not predict where society, and it's acceptable now in society. And so we choose to ignore scripture. And make Jesus our own little king. Because they clearly believed that Jesus was still coming to battle, do battle, even though he's riding in on a donkey. It doesn't make sense. Jesus may not have been the king they were expecting, but he was a greater king than they could possibly ever know. I want to get our worship team coming back up this morning. I mentioned earlier, with familiar stories, it's really easy to overlook. It's easy for us to hear the story and never allow ourselves to process it because we assume we know it all. That's a dangerous place to be. So I want to show us how Palm Sunday applies to our lives. The first way it applies our lives, we have to see Jesus for who he really is. We got to see Jesus for who he is. The people lining the streets today were cheering for Jesus, but they weren't cheering for the real Jesus. They were cheering for this ideal of Jesus they had in their heads. This ideal that Jesus was going to come and deliver them for the Roman government. Because they were in oppression. I mean, they were taxed beyond belief. The tax collectors would make up reasons to take money from them. They couldn't do certain things. I mean, they were basically slaves at the time. And so this is the king we want. But in reality, they missed out on Jesus because of their so focused on what they wanted and what they thought they needed right here, right now. They missed the king that was standing right in front of them. People today, we believe all sorts of things about Jesus, right? One of the most important things I think you can ask somebody when somebody says, I believe in Jesus, ask them what they believe in Jesus. I'm amazed how often the Jesus they describe, it sounds a lot like themselves. Their Jesus thinks the way they do. Their Jesus approves of the behaviors they approve of. Their Jesus views them and their perspectives very positively. Their Jesus doesn't make any demands on them or doesn't challenge their life. When that happens, they're not worshiping the true Jesus. Just like the people who lined the road of Jerusalem, some of you are doing that right now. My challenge to you, does your belief of Jesus line up with the Scripture? Or is it this ideal you've made in your head, this ideal of Jesus that you like? I'm telling you, if your God or your ideal Jesus never challenges you, never shows you what you're doing is sinful, never seems to disagree with you, only exists to make you feel good, then you're worshiping a false God. And that God can't save you. Secondly, we got to recognize the value of what Jesus offers. We got to recognize the value of what Jesus offers. Forgiveness, reconciliation with God. I mean, he makes it possible to erase all of our past, erase all of our sins, and make us right with God. We were once enemies of God. Gives us opportunity to change that. He doesn't offer, he doesn't promise wealth, happiness, ease of life, none of those things. Those things aren't nearly as valuable as forgiveness. They don't provide hope. Think about it. The people that day, they were so focused on their kingdom, not on God's kingdom. They're so focused on the here and now, on their problem, on their diagnosis. Ben, can you come here? Some of you guys have seen me use this illustration before, but just stand right there one more time. That day, they were so focused on here and now, and you probably can't see it because gray duct tape. My bad. A piece of duct tape right here. It's about what, inch and a half? Inch, 3/4. They wanted their kingdom now. God, do this right now. God, heal me right now. God, provide for me a spouse right now. God, provide for me a financial miracle right now. They're focused on this little section here. Jesus comes to town and he says, I'm focused on eternity. Your life, this little tape represents your lifespan. And I know when you're young, you think, oh, life is forever. When you get older, it starts looking shorter and shorter. And so we look at the here and now. They were looking at the here and now, and they were so focused on this, they're like, I don't want to think about that. What about right now? What about the fact that I'm struggling? What about the fact that my life is falling apart? What about the fact that this relationship is being torn? What about this? They're so focused on this. Jesus literally walked in front of them. What about this? Thanks, man. And when he couldn't solve that, let's crucify him. Let's get rid of him. They didn't see the value of the gift that was right before them. That Jesus was focused on eternity. Jesus was focused on the kingdom, and they were focused on their kingdom. And so they said, crucify him. Let's make our own God. Some of you are there today. Your pain is real. Your struggle is real. I mean, some of you are being torn apart right now. So the enemy wants to say, what about now? And what Easter does, Palm Sunday, Easter next week, the fact that a grave, the tomb is empty, in this book is true, is real. That means the fact that the promise in there, he will not leave your side. That is true. So yeah, right now, right here, there's a lot of pain. There's aggravation. You can be angry at God, but guess what the Bible says? He's right here with you. He's not going nowhere. Does that mean he's going to instantly fix? No. What that means is I am not alone. What that means is I know the time is tough. Remember, Jesus is worried about eternity. He wants you to be in heaven with him. And so we got to see the value here, what he offers us. And lastly, I'll stop here. We got to choose to follow him rather than trying to lead him. Much of the time, we're more interested in getting God to sign off on what we want than we are in following where he wants us to go. This is a dangerous thing to go. God must have put this before me. He knew I needed a better job. He knew we needed more money. He knew God must have. Have you prayed about it? Not yet, but I know God must have wanted me to have this, or he wouldn't have lied before me. Prayed about it? No. You know, it's just perfect timing. It's just, have you prayed about it? No. And then it comes, I know God wants me to have this. Whoa. Don't you love that? I love when people come up to me. God told me to tell you. Maybe true, but I think if it's important enough, God would tell me. I'm just saying. But we get in our head, so what we're doing is we're leading God. We're like, God, I know you want me to have this. God, I mean, it's just too many coincidences to not think you want me to have this. And in that instant, what you're trying to do is you're saying, God, come on. This is where I want to go. It's just saying, God, where do you want me to go? What do you have for me? In that moment, what we're doing again is we're creating a Jesus of our own. My Jesus will want me to have this. My Jesus will want me to have the brand new pickup truck, air conditioned seats, heated steering. My Jesus will want me to have that. He want me to ride in comfort. Yeah, but your Jesus wouldn't want you going $80,000 in debt either. But, you know, come on. But my Jesus, maybe your Jesus. We do this all the time. We don't like, we even know what this says. Some of us know really well what this says. You could be like Thomas Jefferson. You get to this section, you just cut it out. And we start creating our own little Jesus. Why don't you stand with me? Sunday. I mean, that's one of those ones. I got some scenes in my mind. Like, when I get to heaven, I'd love to be like, hey, can you just, like, Netflix a documentary? Let me see, like, what it was like then. That's one of those scenes. To see what it was like when Jesus came in, when hundreds of thousands of people are shouting hallelujah, Hosanna to the King. What a scene! Jesus literally walking right in front of them. They had God in flesh. I mean, come on. Like, that blows your mind if you think about it too long. Even know, Jesus was literally walking right in front of them. They're like, yeah, but what about this, Jesus? You know, Jesus had to be scratching his head that time. Like, I don't get it. The fact of he went through all that for people who would not get it. That he suffered a horrible death this next week. Slashes, thorns, I mean, spear, I mean, unbelievable. He did all that even knowing you wouldn't choose him. He did that even knowing that we would be tempted to make our own little Jesus that would agree with everything we agree with. He still went to the cross. I mean, you hear how unbelievable this is? All because he wanted eternity for us. This morning, some of you have gotten so focused on the here and now, on your kingdom, building your kingdom, that is only a whisper in light of eternity. This morning, I think there's some things you need to give up. You need to lay down in light of eternity. You can have that now, or you can have eternity. It still amazes me how many people choose now. Please don't be one of the ones who chooses now. One of the ones who tries to fit God into their image. Serve a God that would be happy with their choices. Let's be honest, this religious thing, it's just too difficult. There's two commands. Love God, love people. Oh, there's a whole lot wrapped up in there, isn't there? This morning, come on. Choose Jesus. See Jesus. Lay down the here and now. His kingdom. Would you pray with me, Heavenly Father? Lord, I pray. God, this morning, God, if there's anyone in here, Lord, we built our own little kingdom. We built our own image of Jesus that likes the things we like, that are okay with how we live, that Jesus is okay with our decisions. Lord, I pray we go back to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Can we start understanding who the real king is here? We understand the gift that is literally setting right before us. The gift of freedom. The gift of grace. The gift of mercy. The gift of righteousness. The gift of the eternal life with Jesus. Oh Lord, I pray we choose you instead of our cheap reproduction. Lord, I know there's some in here today, they have some things they need to lay down. God, there's some things they're doing, there's some choices they're making in life that do not align with your word. But they've allowed them because they think, oh, God will understand. God, I pray today you soften their hearts, receive your word today. God, they would hear and see the true King. They would understand what's at stake here. Eternity is at stake. And they would choose you. Choose you. If there's anyone here today, would you be honest enough with yourself and say, yeah, there's some things in my life that I know God's not pleased with. Now's the day. Now's the time. He's right before you. Come and lay it at the altar today. There's no judgment in this place. There's only freedom. The enemy has trapped you in thinking this lifestyle is okay. These choices are okay. Nobody knows. Nobody's getting hurt. But according to the word of God, it's sin. Light of eternity, what are you going to do? Somebody to meet you down here. There's somebody to pray with you. I guarantee you will not be alone. would you come? Would you give it to him? Would you lay it? He's walking before you today. Lay it at his feet. Lay it at his feet. I'm going to have the worship team sing one more time. Give you opportunity. Come. Would you come? Is that enough for you? it enough? Is it enough to have a relationship with the King of Kings, Lord? Is it enough that the God of the universe looked at you and said, I want you? Is it enough that the God of the universe sent his son to die on a cross, go through a horrific death, just so he could have a relationship with you? Is that enough for you? It's an answer you gotta, question you gotta answer yourself. Lord, I pray as we go that we're honest with ourselves. We see the true key that we worship and not an imitation. That you're going to challenge us, that you're going to push us, but that you're going to love us and never leave our side. I pray that we worship you, Lord God. Your precious holy name we pray. Amen, amen. Lord bless you guys.